Good evening, everyone. I'm Lynn Ormudu. Welcome to Health Chat. As President Muhammadu Buhari of Nigeria just wrapped his brief visit to the United States, we will take a close look at one aspect of Nigeria's healthcare system, its Center for Disease Control. On our show today, we have an exclusive interview with Dr. Chikwe Ihekwazu. He is Chief Executive Officer of the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, the NCDC. Dr. Chikwe Ihekwazu, I know the last name. He joins us live via phone from Abuja, Nigeria. Dr. Chikwe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Fantastic. Sorry, I kind of messed up your name there for a second. So,
Chikwe is just fine.
Yeah. So I'll call you Dr. Chikwe. I think I'm okay with Ihekwazu, but just to be on the safer side, I'll say Dr. Chikwe. Thank you.
Okay.
So listen, it is okay. So good to have you on the program today. We are really delighted to be able to speak with you, because as we know, the Center for Disease Control in any country is an important aspect of a healthcare system of the country. And given that there has been so much going on in Nigeria, we are really happy to have you and ask you some of the questions that we have as well as our listeners have. Now, we have an understanding of what a Center for Disease Control does in any given country, but would you please help us to understand what is the case in your country? What does the NCDC do?
So thank you. The role of the Nigeria Center for Disease Control is really to ensure that the Nigerian people and everyone living in the country is protected from the potential harm from infectious diseases. The biggest lesson we learned from the Ebola outbreak is that really infectious diseases is not only a threat to the health of a country, but also one of the biggest threats to the economic growth and prosperity and security of its people. So Nigeria, like many other countries, has recognized the importance of having a specialized center with specialized skills and expertise to support the government in preventing, detecting, and responding to these threats as they may occur.
Very interesting, and you mentioned the Ebola outbreak. We'll definitely touch on that. And before we do that, as I was reading the mission, I know you explained what the center does in a nutshell, but as I was reading the mission of the NCDC, it says that within the next 5 years, the mission is to protect the health of Nigerians through evidence-based prevention, integrated disease surveillance and response activities using a One Health approach guided by research and led by a skilled workforce. So let's briefly discuss some of these items, okay, some of the aspects of the mission. Let's start with evidence-based prevention. Can you break this down for us, please?
Yeah, I mean, evidence-based prevention, detection, and response really means that you know, we are a science-led organization. Our role, in addition to just the response, which obviously is often what people see, our role is always to gather information available, go through a peer review process, make sure that our the tools and the means and our approaches are based on the best evidence available of what works. Sometimes what works is not as intuitive as you may think. The best vaccines, the disease for which it seems obvious that there are vaccines, there may not be. Various interventions have various pros and cons, and you have to compare those to make sure that you are doing the best possible actions to prevent people from getting ill. So when we say evidence-based, it means that we're not driven by intuition, but we're driven by science, and making sure that we're really offering people the best intervention based on the best evidence available on their on if they work and how well they work.
Interesting. Now, also integrated disease surveillance and response activities. I mean, when it comes to prevention and even control and taking care of of an outbreak and other aspect of healthcare. Surveillance is so important. So can you tell us what is the integrated disease surveillance and response activities that the CDC take on?
So when we say integrated in Nigeria, we mean that we have a single platform that we're trying to integrate all our surveillance activities through. So rather than have a surveillance system for yellow fever, and measles, and Lassa fever, meningitis, polio, smallpox, and monkeypox, we have one integrated system. Now, what this helps us do is, you know, we're a big and complex country, 3,200 million people, 37 states, 774 local governments. We need to make decisions in real time across all these levels. The people at the top need to know what is happening in the various states. The people at the state need to know what is happening in the local government. So by having a single integrated system with various levels of access, with various levels of actors across the entire system, we are able to respond in a coherent and cohesive way. In the past, we have relied on a paper and Excel-based system with all its inadequacies. So one of the biggest projects we're doing at the moment is rolling out a web-based integrated surveillance system, a platform that will help us do the surveillance, ensure that actions that are required happen at all levels, and provide visibility to everyone across the entire country on what is happening within that surveillance architecture at in whatever level in which you're looking at it from. So really, integrating surveillance is a huge project in the Nigerian context, but one that we're determined to achieve over the next few months. So surveillance is already integrated. What we're now trying to do is improve the efficiency of that, using a web-based platform.
A web-based platform that will be controlled by your agency, or the each different agencies will have their own independent control of it?
No. The platform will be with the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, because that's our primary mandate in the country. Different agencies and different players will have access to the information on it.
Okay.
But it will be hosted by the Nigeria Center for Disease Control for the country. Yes.
Okay, great. And now the One Health approach. What is the One Health approach?
Well, the One Health approach is recognizing that really the viruses and bacteria that we are fighting against, really, there's a very close connection between circulation of viruses among humans and circulation among animals. If you look at the most common viruses that we are working on at the moment, yellow fever, monkeypox, Lassa fever, there's always an intermediate host in the animal world. So if you don't take that into consideration in your control, your prevention and control efforts, there's really no sense of success. So if you think about, and let me be black and clear for now, if you think about monkeypox, you know that there's an intermediate host, probably a rodent, that leads to transmission to humans. So if you focus your control activities only in identifying cases in humans, we will not be able to have a significant impact on transmission. So the One Health approach means that we are going to be working together with our colleagues in animal health, colleagues working on the environment, colleagues working on the climate and weather, and bring everyone together into what we call a One Health platform. So then we're responding to an outbreak now. We bring all these colleagues together, we think together, and we strategize together on how to prevent, detect, and control infectious diseases.
Okay. Now, let's talk about some of the current priorities of the NCDC in terms of disease control or outbreaks. I know that you mentioned the fact that you are working on a web-based platform for integrated disease surveillance. What are other priorities that are on the agenda?
So we have four key priorities at the moment. You've already mentioned one, moving our entire surveillance system and efforts into an online web-based platform to enable easy access to that information. Our second major objective is to improve the diagnostic capacity for infectious diseases in Nigeria. So you can't really do surveillance if you don't have a strong backbone of laboratories to confirm the diseases that you're thinking about controlling. So that is really the weakest part of our entire surveillance and response architecture at the moment. So a major goal is to increase that diagnostic capacity over the next year. We've already, just during this year, increased the number of labs that are able to make the diagnosis of last year from 2 to 4, 100% increase, but we know it's still very far from what we need in Nigeria. Our third priority is really to have emergency operation centers from where we will coordinate our response. We already have one at the national level. We've just opened one, set up one in Zamfara State. There are some existing in a few states in the north. What we want is to have all the federal states have an emergency operation center that is connected real-time with a national emergency operation center through which we will all be able to coordinate our prevention response activities in real-time across the country, because we're a big and complex country. The first one really is a bit misleading word. In order to do all of this, we need to build a skilled workforce that has the skill, expertise, and knowledge to do the type of work we need to do in the 21st century. So we really need to build the capacity of the teams in biology, epidemiology, microbiology, emergency response, communication, to build a skilled workforce that the country and the continent can be proud of and rely on. To do the work they need to do so that Nigerians can sleep at night knowing that there's a competent team looking after their health and able to respond to any threats should they arise.
And Dr. Chiko, let me take you a couple of years back when Nigeria was successful in containing the Ebola outbreak in a timely manner. Talk to us about what led to the success of that, what led to that success and any lessons learned from that.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. Much has been written and said about the Nigerian response to the Ebola outbreak. And what we learned from that is multifactorial. One of them I've already addressed. We had an emergency operation center for polio, which we then repurposed to respond to the Ebola outbreak. And therefore, we had a group of people that already understood how to work in an EAC that could work on the Ebola outbreak. Secondly, we had an existing national field epidemiology and laboratory training program, initially supported mostly by the U.S. Center for Disease Control, and therefore we had a cadre of epidemiologists that have been trained and able to respond. And what happened during the Ebola outbreak is that in addition to the leadership provided by both the Lagos State Government and the Federal Ministry of Health and the Federal Minister of Health at the time, all of these resources were pooled together to respond to an acute emergency that we were confronted with. The lessons that we learned from that is that in order to ensure our preparedness over time, we have to build these resources to be available in peacetime as well as when there's a crisis. So generally, we in Nigeria have an incredible ability to mobilize when we think there's immediate danger confronting us. What we're not necessarily very good at is organizing ourselves to be able to respond to one or two small cases of infectious disease here and there that could turn into outbreaks, to make sure that we're talking, we're working together, and we're interconnected, and we have interoperable systems across the country. So ultimately, we're moving from an ad hoc emergency approach to a more sustained approach of building systems that will enable us the preparedness levels that we need to be confident that we will not be the biggest donor of the situation of Ghana in the future. We want to be confident moving forward at all times that we have the capabilities and capacity to respond to whatever comes our way.
Okay, great. Dr. Chikwe, we have so much more to talk about, and we are going to touch on the Lassa fever, meningitis, and what is happening currently. It's time to take a short break, and when we come back, we will have more on our conversation with Dr. Chikwe Ihekwaizu. He is the executive director of the Nigerian Centers for Disease Control. But first, here's the news with Abigail Belai.
International scientists have identified 44 genetic variants that can increase the risk of developing major depression and found that all humans carry at least some of them. Scientists also found that the genetic basis for depression is shared with other psychiatric disorders such as schizophrenia, and that a number of the variants are linked to the targets of antidepressant drugs. The study was a global effort with data covering more than 135,000 patients with major depression and around 344,000 controls as comparisons. Medical experts say major depressions affect around 14% of people worldwide and is the biggest contributor to long-term disability in the general population. The long-term use of certain drugs has been found to be one of the main factors of patients being at a higher risk of developing dementia. According to the University of East Anglia, researchers have found that people who have been prescribed large doses of some anticholinergics have also been correlated to being diagnosed of having dementia. Anticholinergic drugs are a tablet of acetylcholine, a chemical messenger that carries signals across the nervous system. About 1.5 to 2 million people have been said to have taken anticholinergics in order to treat depression, Parkinson's disease, and bladder problems. Research from the British Medical Journal, on behalf of funding by the Alzheimer's Society, found that the obvious solution to stop taking the drugs altogether would not work due to the risk of dementia only being found with certain brands. And that is the latest of your Health Chat news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we have an exclusive interview with Dr. Chikwe Ihekwaizu. He is Chief Executive Officer of the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, the NCDC. Dr. Chikwe, let's look at current affairs, so what is happening now. The country has been faced with a Lassa fever outbreak for a while now. What is the current state of the outbreak?
So I'm happy to say that we've had a consistent decline in cases. We have had a robust response to this outbreak. It's the largest Lassa fever outbreak we've ever had in Nigeria. So we've really had to mobilize ourselves in order to respond effectively. We've learned a lot of lessons from this, both in terms of the virus itself, our ability to respond, the people it infects, and the impact on society. What we're now going to do with all that information is to make sure that we're better prepared, we understand the disease a lot better, and we're much better prepared to respond. Lassa is a very complex virus. It sounds very simple, but it's a very well-adapted virus to this environment. It's well-adapted. It has it's transmitted by a rodent that is prevalent in our cities and rural areas. The detection is very difficult. It presents in the early days, early stages, like any malarial or febrile illness. So it's something that is very complex. And the more we deal with it, as bad as it is, the more we learn how to respond. So, but the good news is we've had a consistent decline in cases. Over the past 6 weeks, we've had cases in single figures, and we're really looking forward to declaring the outbreak over the next week or two, so that we can focus on all the learning and implementing what we've learned from this outbreak to ensure that we prevent cases and outbreaks from happening in the future.
The one of the questions that I know some people are asking is the fact that faced with the Ebola outbreak, Nigeria was so successful so quickly. And I know you said Lassa fever is a bit of a tricky one. And so, but what made Ebola successful that is become making this outbreak so challenging? Because you have also been confronted with meningitis, which was a challenge. So what is different here?
So every virus is different. I think the biggest difference between Ebola and Lassa, with Ebola, was just an introduction from an unknown, yet unknown animal source into a human population. The rest of the transmission is based on human-to-human transmission. So once you're able to cut the chain of transmission from individual to individual, you have a good chance of eliminating and stopping the outbreak. And for Lassa, it's a slightly different situation. Over 90% of cases arise from transmissions of the virus from a rodent to a human. Less than 10%, more around 5%, actually arise from person-to-person transmission. So interrupting chains of transmission is much more complex because we have to identify all those transmissions from rodents to humans and intervene in all those levels. And in ending, how ubiquitous rats are in our environment, our challenges with hygiene, refuse production in the cities, and all of that. So, really, Lassa, in terms of control and intervention, is actually a lot more complex than Ebola, even though Ebola has a higher case fatality ratio than Lassa. The good thing about Lassa, or what enables us to be fairly confident about Lassa, is that For Ebola, it's very difficult to study because nobody knows where Ebola will emerge again. So it's very difficult to prepare yourself to study the virus and understand what control measures are effective. For Lassa, we know the areas of high endemicity in Nigeria, and we are going to focus our efforts on those areas in order to both define our control measures better, but also understand the virus better. And ultimately, what we're really looking forward to is starting research on vaccine candidates so that we can finally have the tools that we need to fight this virus.
And now you mentioned vaccine. You have been confronted with another outbreak, which is the meningitis outbreak, a disease preventable by vaccine, vaccine preventable disease, rather. Yeah. What has been the main contributing factor of the outbreak?
So, you know, again, it's the complexity of this kind of bacteria that causes meningococcal meningitis. There are actually various serogroups of this bacteria, and they're actually all different from each other, even though they're all classified as meningococcal meningitis. So the type of meningitis for which there's an effective vaccine readily available is meningitis serogroup A. And for this serogroup A, we have had large campaigns across West Africa that have almost completely eliminated meningitis A from our environment. What then happens is because of the vacuum probably that this has created, the other cell groups of meningitis, especially C in our case, started circulating and leading to large outbreaks, the largest of which happened in Nigeria last year. So what we really need is a meningitis vaccine that covers all of the circulating cell groups. There are various research efforts going into developing a vaccine like that. There's actually one available at the moment, but it's way too expensive to be introduced into the routine vaccination schedule of a country like ours. So we need both research, but also global advocacy to ensure that we are able to bring down the cost of these vaccines so that they can be used in the parts of the country and in the world where the disease is most prevalent. So at the moment, at the cost of the currently available polyvalent conjugate vaccine for meningitis, it's really only available to a small population of international travelers that are coming to endemic areas. We don't have a vaccine available at the moment to deal with the predominant cell groups that we have in the environment and therefore we're fairly handicapped in our ability to respond. But I know that there's research going on, and I know that there's a lot of work going on to move us further in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, another challenge for the country, polio. About 2 years ago, the Nigeria was on its way of being declared polio-free, really, but the country experienced a setback. What has been the main challenge in reaching a polio-free Nigeria over all these years?
Yeah, there's no other virus that has received the attention that polio has received in Nigeria. And by wide margins, this has been largely successful. Almost exactly 2 years ago, July of this 2 years, we had an unfortunate setback, and everyone recognizes why this happened. 4 cases of wild polio virus were detected in a part of Nigeria that had significant security challenges that limited and the access of healthcare workers to this part of the country in the northeast. What happened subsequently was an unprecedented response to that event, because it really set everyone back in the health sector. However, the federal government of Nigeria led an incredible response to those cases, mounted several vaccination campaigns subsequently, covering entire 2016 and 2017. We're now almost 2 years down the line again. We're really hoping this time that we will get to the end. You know, it still receives more attention than any other disease, and all hands continue to be on deck because everyone is a little bit anxious about this. And no one is more anxious than the Federal Ministry of Health that is primarily responsible, together with the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, of leading the response against polio. So we really hope that this time, in a few years' time, we'll be able to declare the polio outbreak over and finally move towards elimination across the entire African continent.
Okay, and we're going to wrap very soon, but before we do that, I wanted to get your take on some of the milestones that have been accomplished under your leadership by the NCDC.
Yes. So, you know, the work that we're doing is an ongoing process.
Okay.
I think we have demonstrated and continue to demonstrate to Nigerians that investing in a group like NCDC is a necessary part of development. You know, the work that NCDC does is a little bit like an insurance policy. It's not something you want to spend on, but it's something you know you have to spend on. So as we increase our...
I think we lost Dr. Chikwe. Okay. I think we lost Dr. Chikwe, unfortunately. Well, it's almost time to wrap our show. And we want to thank him for joining us today. It was a pleasure to talk to him. And I want to thank our guest, Dr. Chikwe Ihekwesu. He's Chief Executive Officer of the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, NCDC. As he said, this is an ongoing work, and we will make sure that we keep up to date with the work of the organization and see and explore more of the milestone and accomplishments. That's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. I'm your host, Lina Omudu, with producer Jackson Vunganyi, Abigail Bilai with the news, and engineer Scape. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
From Washington, this is VOA News.